2 million fold for a low annual cost, then BristNet's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at BristNet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile, the APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit BristNet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why a new generation is using APR Online.
Creative Calls defeated every horse he ever ran against, and he was a member of an exceptionally proficient crop. I'll Have Another, Bodemeister, Union Rags, Paintner, Hanson, Doulahan, Gemologist, Liaison, Take Charge Indy. Creative Calls won Grade 1 stakes as a 2-year-old and Grade 2 stakes at 3. And he placed in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, the Preakness, the Santa Anita Derby, the Del Mar Futurity, all Grade 1. Creative Calls earned over $1 million. He's about 3 times champion sire Giants Causeway, who sired 2 more graded stakes winners just this past weekend. And he is out of the Grade 1 winner and Millionaire Dream Supreme. The first foals by Creative Calls arrived this year, and they are just what we would expect. They're knockouts. Book full in 2013 and 2014. Thank you, breeders. Creative Calls stands for Mr. Mrs. at Mr. Mrs. Brer and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursula Ellis.
Good morning, everyone, and we are, as usual, here at the Clocker Stand at the Thoroughbred Center. Beautiful morning. Working the track right now. Everything is like real quiet, but it will pick up here in about half an hour. And I think Susie's got about 40 works out there already this morning, so it's going to be a busy morning because you usually get...
I said it wasn't in clumps, though. It wasn't clustered.
No, that's you always appreciate that when you're a clocker. Yeah. I mean, when I was out here clocking, that if they would work one or two at a time, you know, I mean, it's more fun. The problem is after the break, you know, when they open the track up and you got... to, you know, 10, 15 in about 5 minutes. And
because everybody wants to work on a freshly worked track.
That's where, yeah, that's where I wanted to run and hide, too. But, you can't
They'll hide. They'll
find you. Yeah, unfortunately, that was true. Well, what we're going to do today, Ed Rogenkamp's going to come on. He owns Rewards Farm down in Versailles, and he's got some horses in training, and sat with him the other night at the Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club, had a real nice time. And
sat with Matt Howard, too.
Well, we can't help that, you know.
And the Kimmy kids.
Oh, we always go with the Kimmy. I love to sit with the Kimmy.
Kentucky Equine Management Internship.
Where else would you go?
It's a 6-month or a 12-month program where kids come, college graduates, most of them with degrees in ag science, come here and they're assigned to farms all over central Kentucky. And Leslie Janica is the one who, or Janica. I think it's Janica. What is
Janica?
Janica, thank you. See, he comes in handy once in a while, Mark. Anyway,
he's probably wrong.
She takes them to the farm managers for their meetings, and what she does is put 3 at a table, and so they can sit with people who are in the horse business, and they meet people.
Yeah, these poor girls this time drew us.
Yeah, one of them works real close to us at Silver Springs. It's in, you know, right behind our place across the road.
That's Steve Johnson's new place.
Yeah.
Gorgeous
place.
Farm, if you don't know where it is, it's on Brentsville in Bourbon County.
And the creek runs through it. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah, Cooper's Run.
Cooper's Run.
That was Ellis and the Kansas State grad.
At Kansas, oh, God. Other than that, she's a Kansas State grad. She's a really, really cute girl. Nice. And then the girl in the middle was at Margot.
Aaron.
The one in Midway.
Yeah.
And then the boy is out at Stone Farm with Arthur.
With Arthur Hancock.
Yeah. And they were, I teased him something fierce because there's 3 guys and 25, class 25. So it's 7-1. Women to men.
Didn't have that when I was young.
No, Ursa would have joined for good.
When I was in the service and we were getting ready to get discharged, a friend of mine, he ordered all these catalogs and everything from all these different colleges, and he was looking through them, you know, and I said, what exactly are you looking for? He says, female to male ratio.
Nothing wrong with that boy.
Yeah. I think he ended up down in Alabama somewhere, some little school.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Well, what we're going to do today, like I said, Ed Rogan Camp's coming in. Michael Bloin's in Saratoga, but we're going to give him a call. As a substitute, Rick Capone is here, and he has just written a book on the history of old friends. And he's a volunteer over there. We're going to have him on here in just a second. We're going to get old Steve Moody from the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, except it's Saratoga Handicapper Sheet now. That's published by Bloodstock Research Information Services. And they running the Whitney, of course, today. I think they're running three grade one stakes at Whitney, the Tess, and Alfred G. Vanderbilt. Got Jackie's announcements, going to do some history on maybe a couple of winners of the Whitney. I got one Joe Palmer wrote about. By Rico Monte, an Argentine bred horse. I remember the horse. And he was a 1947 winner. And I believe he went to stud. I wouldn't bet the farm on this, but I believe he went to stud with John Bell over John Bell Farm at that time. Shot a couple of nice horses, you know. He was a little better than an empty stall at stud. This also Joe wrote about one hitter who went to stud right next door over here at Greenfree Stud. Anyway, we're going to talk about that. And, we got a big announcement. I better announce that.
Yeah, I was
going to announce it often. Starting the 16th, that's all Saturday, August the 16th, we're going back to the old time from 10 until noon. Starting on the 16th, that's week after next. So write that down, tattoo that on your hand, or do something with it. Anyway, so we're delighted, and I'm sure that a lot of people are. The only person that really complained it was David Schweitzer, and he says, "Well, oh, that's great." He says, "I like to get on the golf course by 10, so he liked the early time. David's retiring.
Yeah, there you go. You know. Well, when it gets cold and dark, the 10 to 12 is much better.
Yeah, one of the problems is the clockers get real busy in here, you know.
Yeah, and then where you have to stay up to be inside and the window's closed and it gets pretty raucous. And
yeah, okay.
We didn't want to interfere with the real business.
The real business. I got a couple other little things I want to talk about before I get Rick on here. Ken Williams. Ken Wilkins has left Spendthrift Farm, gone to work for Calumet, which is a big surprise to me and everybody else, I guess. But there you are, and I wish him well, and I'll go over and talk to him, see what he's doing. I'm definitely going to go talk to him because I loaned him a book. And, Ken, I want my book back.
speaking of Calumet, what was it, yesterday or day before? It was Throwback Thursday on Facebook. And I can't remember who. I don't think it was Barbara Livingston. Somebody put up a picture. And there is Maggie Glass in her Calumet silks, you know, which went to the ground. And the first trainer of Our Mims. Our Mims was there. They brought Our Mims over to see Maggie Glass in this picture. It was really good. I think it might have been at Keeneland. And they were playing Guess Who This Is. Well, I knew Maggie. Right off, I wasn't sure who the horse was because I wouldn't recognize Our Mims. But anyway, that was kind of a fun thing. Maggie and her Calumet silks. She used to wear those things to. I used to belong to the Thoroughbreds, which is a woman's organization for people that worked in the offices on all the farms, mostly office managers and all that kind of stuff.
Is that do they still have that?
I don't know. You used to say, huh. They misspell it. It was Thoro Breads, and they didn't spell out. So, yeah. But we used to have fun. We used to have
meetings. Well, that's typical
meetings.
Most of you gals over there working on your farm. I couldn't spell anyway.
Yes, you take that back. We ran those places. I was farm manager at three different farms.
Okay.
You could tell I was so good they kept moving me up, you see.
Yeah, or out.
Or out, right. Right. Mostly out. That's a good job. And that was before computers.
Will you let me catch up with this stuff?
All right.
Winners from the Thoroughbred Center since last week. We had eight winners from last week's show. Eduardo Caramori, Matt Frazier, won another one with Chill Six Pack. It's a quarter horse. Don't you love that name?
Yes.
He probably named that one himself. Tanya Lobseger had a winner. Paul Garcia. Luis Jurado had another one. Tim Shue. Tommy Short and Jim Rankin, all saddle winners since last week's show.
Now, is okay, that now, how many for the month?
This month?
July.
Oh, 41.
Oh, okay, good.
For July. This is August.
Yes, I know it's August.
Thank you, dear. None this month so far. Keeneland. 4,181 yearlings in the Keeneland September sales. It's going to be available online by August 5, and print catalogs, that's my big deal, I don't go online, print catalogs on August the 18th, so I will be out there on the 19th to pick up my catalogs. The Thoroughbred Club is honoring three veterinarians as their honored guests. This is the first time I believe they've ever honored three at one time.
Now, you have to differentiate that. I said what the Thoroughbreds were.
This is the Thoroughbred Club
of America. Yes.
I used to belong to that.
And then they raised the standards.
Okay. Anyway, they're going to honor Larry Bramlage, a friend of mine, Ed Fallon, since I've known Ed since we were both in high school. Ed was of course, with Haggard Davidson McGee. His uncle was Dr. Charlie Haggard. And the first words he said when he was born was palpate. He didn't. Everybody else said mama, dad. You know, it was palpate. Ed's a nice guy. And his son works over there, by the way. At Haggard's now. And Gary Lavin, I really didn't know. I'd met him once, I think, but he's down around the Louisville area. And but a breeder and so forth, and besides being a veterinarian. So it's Dr. Larry Bramlage, Ed Fallon, and Gary Lavin. And that's going to be the three. They're going to be honored by the organization at Keeneland on September the 28th. That's the 83rd testimonial dinner at Keeneland. I remember the first one very well. Let's see.
In utero.
In something.
Boy, he lies.
Well, you got nobody expects me to tell the truth here. When you get to be my age, you can lie with impunity. Tomorrow's stakes races include, of course, the Whitney goes off at 5:46.
Today or tomorrow?
That's a million and today. Oh, would I say
okay.
Tomorrow?
Yes.
Oh, well, what the hell? I pulled
this
out yesterday.
See, I'm good for something.
I got this off the Thoroughbred Daily News yesterday, so it was old then. It was tomorrow when I pulled it off.
You know, if you walk in backwards, it's the day before.
backwards is what we are on this show. Oh, okay, it goes off at 5:46. Million and a half up the pot, drawing a field of nine. Boy, it's a good field. As a matter of fact, they're running the test. It's 12 of them going in there. And the Vanderbilt, see what times the test go off? At 5:14. The Vanderbilt goes, that's the first one, at 4:42. Out at, they run the grade one Clement L. Hurst Stakes out at Del Mar today at 8:30. That's my bedtime. Let's see.
That's last beer of the daytime.
Oh, here. Here's one I just picked up on. A group of 25 North American trainers, including Hall of Famers Wayne Lucas and Shug McGahee and Todd Pletcher, have joined forces and have proposed the gradual elimination of race day medication in the United States. Under the proposal, no two-year-olds would receive race day medication beginning in 2015, and no horses of any age would receive race day medication starting in 2016.
Does that include Lasix?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, brother.
Del Mar has once again postponed reopening their turf track until till Saturday the 9th. I guess they opened it up Thursday and another horse broke down.
Is that right? Wow.
So
that's terrible.
Yeah, what else in there might be of interest?
It's the driest year in California and forever. That may have a
might
lot
have something
to
do
with
it.
It.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see, the Betfred Mile Handicap at Goodwood yesterday, a Warfront run at Red Avenger by Warfront, a four-year-old colt. And he was bred in Kentucky by Wedgewood Farm. And let's see, today, the Nassau Grade 1 is the feature stakes at Goodwood. So those little items. And with that, I will pay a bill around here and get something done. And First Samurai is the sire of 8 stakes winners already this year. Among the 8, Lee, winner the Grade 1 Don, Grade 3 winner Hal's Hope. He's won over $709,000. Carve, winner of the Grade 3 Cornhusker. He goes in stakes today. Size, winner of the Grade 3 Iowa Oaks. Last Gunfighter, he goes in stakes today. He's a multiple graded stakes winner. His last stakes win, incidentally, boosted his earnings to over $1,142,000. Northern Passion, winner of over $633,000. And Apropos, winner of the American Beauty Stakes at Oak Lawn and placed in the Grade 1 Madison Stakes at Keeneland. The sire of 9 stakes winners this year, last year, 10 the year before, First Samurai is well on his way to another successful year at stud. Winner of the Grade 1 Champagne and the Greenwood Hopeful at 2, the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth at 3. First Samurai is the son of 3-time champion Sire Giants Causeway, who sired the winners of 2 more graded stakes just last weekend. First Samurai stands at Claiborne Farm. Look for his yearlings at the major sales. And for more information, get in touch with Bernie Sams at Claiborne Farm, although he's at Saratoga now, but he'll be back, 859-233-4252, and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
And I know some people that are not in Saratoga. That's the people at the Hopewell Company in Bourbon County. And it's, tell you what, good to do business with people you trust, especially when it comes to insurance. They're there when you need them. They've been around forever, but when we moved to Bourbon County, friends recommended the Hopewell Company. That was 28 years ago. They've been taking care of our insurance ever since, and they have horse farms, racing stables. They cover our home, barn, vehicles, horse trailer, plus liability, and they have been there in spades whenever we needed them. And I can attest to that because about a year and a half ago, we got struck by lightning. And they were there that afternoon. What it did is singed all the wires. They were all burned all the wires. They were black. They were there that day. And the next day, they had people over there starting to fix them. So the key is, and I didn't realize this until we needed them when we got struck by lightning. It's an independent insurance agency. They work for us, not the insurance companies. The insurance companies want their business. So the insurance companies hop to when they've got a claim. They don't fight you like they do, you know, poor Joe Schmuck out there on his own. And Hopewell also knows people who do a good, honest job in repair because those people want the business. So it works out all the way around. Contact Hopewell Company. They'll give you a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. That's the Hopewell Company, 820 South Main Street in Paris, 987-2347, or Lexington number 254-2431. You'll get great service. I personally guarantee it.
And just that their office is on Main Street in Paris, and just a block south of them is the office of the Clay Ward Agency.
And are they related?
No.
Oh.
No. Anyway, the Clay Ward Agency has been doing business insuring the world's finest thoroughbreds since 1931. And believe me, I know that's a long time. James Clay Ward started that business right during the middle of the Depression. Of course, Mr. James Clay Ward is gone now. I had the privilege of meeting him a couple of times many, many years ago, but he established his tradition there, and that tradition involved service and a thorough knowledge of the horse business, and that tradition is carried on right now as we speak by Shaq Parrish and Bruce Isaacs and John Hess. And so I would suggest if you want to insure your horses, go to people who are the best at what they do, they know what they're doing, and have been in business a long, long time, and that would be the Clay Ward Agency over in Paris, and their number over there, It's an 859 number, 987-1861. 1861, just remember the beginning of the Civil War. Now, the Clay Ward Agency, of course, has long time been affiliated very closely with Indian Creek Farm, beautiful farm over in Bourbon County. And their tradition is for raising runners and selling top quality blood stock at the major auctions. And, you know, the sales, I think it's the 15th of this month, the Fasig Tipton Fall sales closes. So give them a call over at, and talk to Shaq Parrish or Nikki Dryan over at Indian Creek. They've the list of high-class stakes winners, and they sold six champions every they'd raised over there. It's long and impressive and grows all the time. And that's Shaq Parrish and Nikki Dryan. And here's the number over there. It's 987-7443. And go to the website if you want to learn more about them, IndianCreekKY.com. That's IndianCreekKY.com. All righty. Well, Michael Blowens in Saratoga. I'm going to miss him today. Golly, without Dr. Byers, without Michael Blowens,
can
you
I
know,
go
I'm
home?
Kind of lost, huh?
Can I go home?
Yeah. Well, I got Rick Capone here, and he while Michael was gone, he wrote a history of old friends. And, he had Dr. Proofreading this in heaven right now. And
yeah. With Michael up in Saratoga on the second team he sent in today.
Yeah, there you are. You know, I really miss Doc. My goodness, you know.
He was a great guy.
You know, something I should have said the other day and I didn't, kind of a funny story. You know, Doc had a stubborn streak, you know. He was a real stubborn streak. And when he first came back from what's the name?
Mayo.
Yeah, the Mayo Clinic the first time. He was doing pretty good, but he was kind of shaky, you know, and he would come up, and we've got about six steps coming up to the clocker stand. He was, you know, taking his time coming up, but he was shaky, and I told him, I says, Doc, you need a cane. And I said, oh, yeah, sure. So, yeah, you know. And a couple of weeks went by, no cane. And so I kind of gave up on him, but I guess a good friend of mine and his, a close friend of Doc's, was Dr. Stuart Burns, another veterinarian over in Bourbon County.
Yep.
And Stuart made him a walking staff. Beautiful thing. I mean, he handmade, it was sanded and shellacked, you know, had a nice brass thing name on it, you know, and an Australian corn, I don't know, I guess it's good luck corn, was embedded in the top. Well, Doc, he really liked that.
He liked that.
You know, I was talking to him on the phone. He said, boy, you ought to see this, you know. So I said, oh, boy. So the next Saturday, I said, here he comes, you know. He gets out of his car down here, and here, sure enough, here he came up the walk, up the hill, you know, with the cane. He was carrying it.
that would be Doc.
He wasn't using it. He was just carrying it, you know.
That would be Doc.
Yeah, that was Doc, you know. Well, you just brought this in, Rick. Today, Rick is the sports editor of what's the name of that paper?
The Woodford Sun in Versailles. Yeah.
You wrote a nice obit on Doc, too, by the
way. Appreciate it. Thank you.
It was very well done.
Thank you very much.
And anyway, this is a history of old friends. And the only thing I don't like about it, it's got a nice picture of a horse on the front. But it's got Michael Bowen's ugly mug on there, you know.
That was Michael's one request. The only request he had in the whole book is he said, could I please try to get Sunshine Forever on the cover?
Yeah.
And I did, and it had Michael with him, so we were stuck that way, but it worked out nice, I think.
Well, Sunshine Forever was the first horse that he really stood that they brought here, wasn't it?
Yeah. Correct. Him and Creator were the first two they brought home from Japan.
Yeah.
It was originally supposed to be Sunshine and Criminal Type, but Criminal Type passed away right before the trip. So they added Creator, and they got here, and Sunshine was his favorite horse. He had watched him race, you know, during his racing career.
Grass champion,
yep, 88 Eclipse Award winner.
Yeah.
And when Michael read an article about Ferdinand, what happened to Ferdinand Japan, same article had Sunshine Forever listed as a possible horse that could be in trouble too.
Yeah.
And once he saw that and remembering all of what Sunshine did when he was watching him, he set to work. And this, y'all know how when Michael sets to work to do something, it gets done.
Somehow so, it gets done.
Absolutely.
He went over to Alfred Knuckles, is that right, first? And was he there first?
Alfred Knuckles. Well, first was Afton Farm, a little farm up in Scott. And then he needed more room in less than a year almost. So then he talked to Alfred at Hirschland, and next thing you know, that's where they were for a couple of years.
Yeah. Now, at Afton, was Sunshine Forever there? Because the first time I saw him was at
Hirschland.
Was it Hirschland?
Correct. Yeah, they only had a couple horses over at Afton at the time.
Yeah.
And most of them were like Little Silver Charm and Invigorate Michael's horse.
Yeah.
But then when he started seeing horses, Sunshine Creator were coming back, Ruhlman was getting ready to come in, Taylor Special, he knew he needed more room pretty fast. So,
yeah.
That's how he ended up at Hirschland.
Well, first thing he did was sell me a share in the horse.
There you go. There you go.
And I believe I'm a hard sell.
Yeah.
I got a lot of scotch in me.
That'll help. That'll help. Yeah, he can, he'll find a way to get it done.
Well, he got it done. Yeah. Not only that, he threw a birthday party for me one time over that at the Black Tulip.
Okay.
You know,
uh-huh.
Didn't tell me. It was a surprise thing, you know. And so I showed up, and you know, you walk in here. They always have a pot there, you know, for donations, and I threw $100 in there, you know. Then it was my birthday party, too. You know, so here he is. You're setting me up. I had to pay for $100 to go to my own birthday party.
Yep, that's Michael. He'll find a way.
Yeah.
Oh, man, he never, you know, it's just a ball of energy. He can't stop him. He won't take no. Well, he doesn't accept no. It's like, okay, you don't want to do something? Then he'll just move on to the next person. He's very optimistic and always positive and always keep on going.
But how come you figured out that you wanted to write a history of the old friend, you know?
Actually, yeah, it's about, it's 5 years in the making? 2008, I discovered old friends. I went over for a tour. Mostly, I wanted to see Riva Way because Riva Ridge is my all-time favorite horse.
Oh, is that right?
So I wanted to see Riva Way.
Didn't like his stablemate.
No, he was pretty good. Yeah, he was pretty good, too. I liked him. Got to see both at Claiborne a long time ago.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. But anyway, I took the tour. Around the same time, I was reading a book by, I forgot her name, but it's Melanie Bowles. It's called The Horses of Proud Spirit, which is a horse sanctuary.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically just, she was trying to raise money for the farm, so she did stories on the horses.
Yeah.
Walking around old friends, I was like, hey, this same thing could be done here. So following week, I wrote a little proposal up, brought it up to old friends, walked in, there's this guy sitting at the desk, and he says, can I help you? I said, yeah, I'm thinking, I'm just having this little proposal for a book idea I had. Could somebody please give it to Michael Blowen? He said, you just did. I'm like, oh, okay, nice to meet you. And he said, he'll review it. Next week, he called, he liked the idea, so we started doing interviews on Saturday mornings. And at that time, he began his first huge expansion from about 30 horses to 50, and I couldn't keep up. And it just kind of went to the back burner a little.
Yeah.
And I started working my photography, so I got to still help out with photography.
Well, you take a lot of pictures for Michael.
Right, about 80% of the photos in there are mine, too, which are pretty cool, along with a lot of other great photographers around here.
Yeah.
So anyway, 5 years go by, and about a year ago, somebody from History Press called Michael and said, you know, we'd like to do a book on your farm, you know, all about old friends. And Michael said, hey, that's a great idea. Call Rick Capone.
Yeah.
So it was full circle. It came right back to me. I said, absolutely yes. And that's the result. And it's basically story of how the old friends came about all the way through to Dream Chase.
Mm-hmm.
And then stories about the horses. And not just stories by me, but stories by a lot of volunteers. You know,
oh, that's good.
You know, some folks might like Beth Shannon likes Ogaijin. So I let her do a story about Ogaijin. Barbara Fossum, who works at the NYRA, loves Hidden Lake, so she wrote a story about Hidden Lake, and that's how I filled the book, just because that's what Old Friends is all about, you know, stories about the horses.
My favorite over there was Taylor Special.
He's beautiful.
I don't know how beautiful he was, but he was. I saw him win the Bluegrass.
Okay. I got there.
I bet on him that day.
You know? Did you?
Yeah.
And that was his big win. Got got, Mike always says that's the race that got Bill Mott, that's the race and the horse that got Bill Mott on the map. He always says that.
Yeah, that's what Bill Mott said. Yeah.
It was a beautiful, I got there, when I first got there, he had just passed away. I just missed getting to see him.
Yeah.
But I got a story about him in there and a great photo from one of the volunteer sisters.
In the About the Author section, your favorite sport was volleyball? Kind with those nudie girls? And
I actually did. I got to work a year on the Pro Beach Tour out in California.
Holy cow.
But buddy. I also did indoor and all of the rest of it. Yeah. That was my favorite team sport. And then I actually moved up here to take a job at the American Volleyball Coaches Association in Lexington. And I figured that was my job forever. You know, that's it. You know, there's nothing better than volleyball. And then I discovered horses and bye-bye volleyball.
Well, where are you from, Rick?
Originally grew up in Philadelphia, 20 years there. Then the next 25 around Florida. And when I started my writing career, it was tech writing. So I bounced around the country doing contracts for a while.
Uh-huh.
And then from Florida, I ended up here in Kentucky, and you'll have to drag me away before I ever leave. I was actually unemployed for a year and a half, and I probably could have gotten a job out of state doing tech writing again, but I refused to leave.
Exactly.
I just like it here.
Yeah. What do you do besides write for the Woodford Times?
That's a good chunk of time, because especially during high school season with all the sports. But other than that, I'm always out shooting photos.
You volunteer help over at the Old Friends.
Right, yeah. Before the new expansion again, I used to, like for 4 years, I helped Michael feed on Saturday mornings. And a lot of times for the last 2 years, I ended up doing afternoon feeding sometimes on weekends too, which was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
But then when they got all these new horses in, the new management, it wasn't that they didn't want me. It was just it expanded so much.
I'm sure they put you to work for sure.
Oh, I'm sure if
I did. Do you give any tours?
No, I don't. I've never given a tour yet.
Well,
I have a feeling.
Know them all?
You would think that. I don't know. I've never had the opportunity yet, or I haven't volunteered to do that yet. It's more fun to walk around and feed them carrots on my own. But I have a feeling with the release of the book, Michael's going to be going like a full see me walking around the farm at some time. He'll be going, hey, Rick, the guy that wrote the book can give a tour now. So I have a feeling it's coming soon.
Okay, well, where can people get this book, Rick?
Book can be purchased around locally. It can be purchased at Old Friends. It's already in stock there.
Okay.
You can also get it at the normal places, Amazon.com, bookstores around town, and also at thehistorypress.com.
Oh, History Press.
TheHistoryPress.com, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, I got one for you.
Okay.
How do we get a hold of somebody to save this horse? There's a thoroughbred mare. Well, no, I think she's three. Lady Minka. She was last raced at Mountaineer. The owner trainer evidently sold her to the killer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And she's at New Holland, hip number 446. Wonder how we go around the trainer. I'm going to say his name. Where is it? Where's the trainer's name on here? Was it on this page? Oh, yeah, Danny Hamilton II.
Yeah.
Owned her and trained her and got rid of her. He doesn't have many. He doesn't run much, but he's at Mountaineer. I guess he's squeaking by. And from the looks of her, if he fed her, she might have won more.
Oh, wow.
She did win.
Yeah.
I'll bet you if this, I can't guarantee it, but I'll bet you if this is on Facebook, there's already people working on it.
I hope so. We need to mention it to Michael while we talk to him, too.
Maybe too late now if she's already there.
She was yesterday, and she was hip number 446.
Oh, okay.
Makes me want to throw up and ring somebody's
neck. Yeah, it's kind of sad when they do that.
What a jerk.
Yep, I agree.
All they had to do was call New Vocations, rerun, anybody. She's sound.
Yeah.
New Vocations and Rerun could have had her.
And could have been retrained, possibly.
Yeah. That's.
Well, maybe it happened. You know, this is like you said, you saw this yesterday, so maybe overnight or yesterday somebody was there from one of those groups.
Yeah, I reposted it umpteen times.
Especially New Holland. They've got
people at New Holland.
Yeah,
the girl up at New Holland, the contact at New Holland, put this up. Her name's Mindy Lovell, and she goes around checking for thoroughbreds.
Oh,
So,
going to take a break here. Stick around because we're going to call Michael.
Okay.
And he'll need a set of earphones if he's going to talk to Michael. Okay. All right. Well, here are two more promising runners, but First Defense and this mask to keep your eye on. July 24, Leopardstown, Tom Berlane, a 2-year-old Copa First Defense. He broke his maiden in his career debut, beating Colts by Galileo and Warfront. That's quite an accomplishment right there. He ran a close second to Glenn Eagles, another highly regarded son of Galileo, in a Group 3 Japanese Racing Authority Tyro Stakes, also at Leopardstown. 3 days later at Monmouth Park, Stone Tastic, a 3-year-old filly by Mizzen Mass, won impressively, going 6 furlongs and 9 and change. Stone Tastic, never off the board in 6 starts, won first time out at 2, then ran second in the Grade 2 Pocahontas and third in the Grade 2 Goldenrod, both at Churchill Downs. In 2 starts this year, she placed in the $100,000 Ginger Brew Stakes at Gulfstream, followed by last Saturday's score at Monmouth Park. First Defense and Mizzen Mass are both proven Grade 1 sires, and both are represented by Grade 1 stakes winners this year, by the way, and both stand at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for some 60 years. Whew. During that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack have been entrusted to their care, and they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. That's because they build them and they service them themselves. But the single most important, thank you, safety factor is the ability and experience of the person behind the wheel. Back to Sally Van. They're really proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers. And here's the key. They're experienced horsemen. And that's a winning combination. You see these guys that train and stuff, when they want to quit training and they want a nice job in there, they go right to Sally Van. They know what they're doing. They drive. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's cross county or across the country. When you load your horse onto a Sally Van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. At Sally Van, they wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Van's been the safest way to the winner's circle. They are at 255-9640 or the website sallyvans.com. Come.
Okay.
There you go, Sally Vans. Good bunch.
All right. Well, Super Saver was represented by two more First Crop 2-year-old winners over the weekend, both in maiden specials, both at Saratoga. On Saturday, Competitive Edge broke his maiden in his first start by a spectacular 10 1/4 lengths. Then on Sunday, Our Dollar Woman was an impressive winner. Both were bred by Windstar Farm, and both were sold in the 2-year-old and training sales. Competitive Edge for $750,000 at the Phasic Tipton March sale. High Dollar Woman for $670,000 at the OBS March sale. Super Saver is also the sire of I Spin It, one of his first start in a maiden special at Belmont, plus three others that have placed in maiden specials in their first starts at Belmont, at Churchill Downs, and at Gulfstream. I Spin It, he was bred by Dixiana Farm, sold for $600,000 at the Phasic Tipton March sale. Super Saver is one of two Kentucky Derby winners by his sire, Maria's Mom. He's out of a daughter of classic winner and classic sire AP Indy. It's a pedigree loaded with classic stamina, so it's noteworthy that his 2-year-olds are winning early and top company at major tracks. He stands at Windstar Farm. Inquires to Darren Fox, Sean Tugel, or Kyle Wilson, 859-873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com.
And Michael to do a signing of the book there.
Oh, so that's great.
I'll finally get to see Saratoga, and we'll do a signing. And
why didn't you go up with him when he drove up?
They wouldn't give me that much time off.
Oh, wouldn't
still need to do the sports page.
Well, they got a fax, you know. I mean, you can...
Well, yeah, an email, but yeah.
Yeah.
So I needed to do a few interviews this week to get stuff. Sports season's coming up, so we got football previews, volleyball previews, soccer previews, so needed to get that done. So.
Now, how many high schools are there? Just the one high school?
It's just the one high school. I cover that. It's one person. That's enough to cover that. And then there's folks out there in the middle school parents and stuff that'll give me information and reports about the middle school as well.
Okay. They got a golf team there in the high school?
Yes, they do. It starts up, boys team. They have one kid that's won 5 junior tournaments this summer.
Oh.
And a girls team, and the daughter of the coach plays on the summer too, has won a few tournaments. And then she's got a good shot at a scholarship for college. And she also plays soccer at the same time, so it's a lot of fun.
No volleyball?
Huh?
No volleyball?
No volleyball. No. But we got one of the girls' basketball players coming down to try volleyball this year, so it's a lot of fun. It's a fun place to watch. They've got some great coaches there and some great kids, great athletes. I mean, it's a fun school to cover.
Yeah. I asked you about the golf team because my grandson plays on Lafayette's golf team.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He just shot a 78 in a tournament yesterday,
okay,
as a matter of fact. So
that's good.
That's not bad.
No, I was on a golf course once in my life. I shot a 126 on the front nine.
Yeah.
And that was the end of my golf career.
He was after me to play with him. You know, I used to play some, and I told him, when I can shoot my age, I'll play with you. And in order to do that, I'll have to live to be 150.
Oh,
you know, so
it's... Yeah, it's not
that. I'm real proud of him. He'd just been playing for 2 years. Never touched a club until 2 years ago.
That's excellent to be that good. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's pretty good. What's the story with Michael?
Going to this next break.
Going to the next break?
Yeah.
Well, let's take it now, and then we'll get him on. How's that? Well, Razzle Jazzle, the son of Jazzle, posted his fourth straight win. On July 26th at Saratoga, and the next day at Arlington Park, Fleet Encounter, a daughter of Intadab, captured her 10th career win. That's two hard-hitting runners by Shadwell Stallions. Razzle Dazzle is a $100,000 graduate of the Facie Tipton July sale, began his winning streak in December at Delaware, and won two more at Delaware, and then captured his fourth straight at Saratoga. Fleet Encounter, in addition to having won 10 times, has been on the board in 20 of her 25 career starts. Of course, both Dazzle and Intadab have side-graded stakes winners, as has every stallion with foals of racing age that stands at Shadwell Farm. The first foals by Albertus Maximus, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, the Grade 1 Don Handicap, and over $1,328,000 are yearlings this year. You'll see them at the sales in September. For more on the stallions at Shadwell Farm, get in touch with stallion manager Kent Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Talk about my good friend, and a good friend of old friends, by the way. Is Ralph Quillen over Quillen Leather and Tack. He supplies free of charge halters for all the stallions and all the horses over there. Not all stallions, of course. They've got geldings and mares and everything else over there at old friends. Quillen, of course, Leather and Tack, the nation's largest custom halter shop. They ship close to $20,000 halter a year. Halters out. That's the ones that ship out. God only knows how many they sell. They repair all mine. Mine are so old. I've got one that's got a brass plate on that says Eclipse. But they've kept it going. And it's a great tack shop, great place to visit, great gift shop there, incidentally. So if you're looking for that special person for the horse lover in your family, just go to Quillen Tack. And it's in Paris, Kentucky. If you're coming in from the Lexington area, you go to the third stoplight and look to the left and you see Quillen Tack. And if you want a beer, go about five more blocks and look on your left, and there's Rooster Brewery. And they've got 102 different kind of beers in there. So you can start singing that song, you know, 99 bottles of beer on the wall, but you got to start with 102. And if you can make it through that bunch and get out of there, good luck to you. But it's a fun place to go. You go in there and see that. And that's Ralph Quillen's too. Nice guy, doing a lot for the city of Paris, anyway. So, but as far as Quillen goes, go to his website. That's Quillen.com, Quillin.com. All right, July 26th, at Del Mar, the Grade 2 $200,000 San Diego Handicap was won by Fed Biz by Giants Causeway. 24 hours earlier, the Grade 3 Cougar, the second handicap, was won by Irish Surf by Giants Causeway. Fed Biz was bred by Colt's Neck Stable, sold at Keeneland September sales for $950,000. He's trained by Bob Baffert, and he's won three other stakes, including the Grade 2 Pat O'Brien
at Del Mar in the Grade 2 San Fernando Stakes at Santa Anita. Led all the way to take the San Diego Handicap, won by 5 1/4 lengths, and set a new track record for a mile and a 16th, 141 flat. Now, Irish Surf went 10 furlongs and 229, and that was a new track record also. He won by over 8 lengths to register his first stakes victory. Irish Surf was bred by Gainesway Thoroughbreds. He's trained by Dan Hendricks. Giants Causeway ranks second on the North American sire list with 8 stakes winners, 4 of them graded stakes winners, 1 grade 1 stakes winner, and the earnings of over $5,277,000. 3 times he's ranked him number 1 on the sire list, and he's ranked among the top 5 leading sires for 9 consecutive years. To compete at the highest level, look to the Giants Causeway yearlings at the upcoming sales. He stands at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. For more on the stallions at Ashford Stud, get in touch with the farm, 859-873-7088, and see the website at coolmore.com. Well, we have Michael Blown on the phone from Saratoga. And I don't know what part of Saratoga he's in, probably some bar up there somewhere.
And not yet, but the next best place. I'm here with Dallas Stewart and with Charlie Pegg, who, you know, my friend Charlie owns part of Palace Bounce. We're over here at the training track watching this beautiful, beautiful soft morning and watching this wonderful horse work out and practice and have a great old time.
Well, you tell them that I said to watch their wallets.
I'm not telling them that.
You're not telling them that? Hey, I've got Rick Capone with me.
Great. Well, Rick's done a wonderful job with that book. I'm very grateful to all he's done for Old Friends with the horses and with the book and with everything else. He's made great pictures he took. I'm very proud of that book, and I'm proud of Rick.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah. Could you hear him?
Yeah.
He said, thank you, Michael. Okay. Well, I haven't had a chance to read it yet because he just brought it in this morning. But he says it's available at various places, including at Old Friends. And I'm just looking at it, glancing at it real quick. The only complaint I've got, grand-looking horse on the front, much better looking than the person holding it.
I exactly my sentiment. Exactly my sentiment. And for you, Ursa, we'll put a magnifying glass so you can read it.
Oh, shut up. I had my eyes fixed, and you know that. Well, what's going on up there?
Oh, we're having a great time. Well, you know, Palace Malice is running today. You want to say hello to my friend Charlie? He owns part of Palace Malice. He's even money for the Whitney. Hold on a second.
All righty.
Morning, Ursula. How you doing?
I'm doing real good, Charlie. Good luck today.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
We're going to be rooting for you.
Yep, we're good. I appreciate that. We're looking forward to it. Looking for a big day.
Well, bet $2 on the nose for me.
Okay, I'll do that.
And
okay.
If he wins, give it to Old Friends.
I'll do that.
Yeah, I think it should. What do you think it'd be, about 4 to 5 or even money today?
Yeah, that's what I hear. I know he's even money in the morning line.
Yeah, but, yeah. You own a piece of him, of course.
I do.
Are you looking forward for him going to stud one of these days?
Yeah. He'll either go next year or the year after, probably.
Oh, well, good. Keep him in training as long as he's sound and going good and everything. And maybe you can get him go to stud over at Old Friends.
you think Michael could handle that?
No, on second thought, you better send him somewhere else.
Okay, well, we'll keep that in mind. I'll pass that word on to Campbell. So,
okay.
Yeah, he's going to be fielding offers the next many weeks, so we'll see what happens.
Well, say hello to Cott for me. I need to get him back on the show. Need to get you on the show, too, so next time you're in Kentucky, come on by.
Okay, Ursula, thanks a lot. Okay.
Good luck, my friend.
Good to talk to you. I'll give it back to Michael.
Okay. Say whatever you want.
Half of Kentucky's up here.
Well, what can I say? I know it is because all my sponsors are up there.
I saw Tommy Van Meter this morning. Selling. And Arthur Hancock. And I'm telling you, everybody's up here. We've got the sale. We got these really good racing days. And it's really nice, and we're having a big party next Saturday night next, let me think for a second.
Friday.
Yeah,
it's Friday.
Yeah, Friday. Thank you. We're having a big party next Friday night for Sonny Taylor, who's the placing judge up here, and it's going to be really nice at the Washington Inn from 7 to 9. And then on Saturday, you know, Rick might have mentioned, we'll be signing copies of the book over at the Racing Hall of Fame.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did mention that. Yeah, maybe you can get a signing over at Joseph Beth or someplace one of these.
Yeah,
we're
aiming
for that. We've got one scheduled for the Morris Bookshop, I know, and Rick's working on some others, though.
Okay. Now, where is the Morris Bookshop, if I'm not... I know it's an old bookshop. Is it over in off of Richmond Road?
It's off of, Nicholasville and Alumni, right around where those two roads meet.
Nicholasville and Alumni.
Yeah, that's I did a quick map quest just to look, and I don't know the specific spot, but it's right around there.
I know Morris Bookstore is one of the oldest.
Yep, in Lexington.
Yeah, it preceded
Joseph
Beth.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
I'm also trying for one down in Frankfort. I just discovered, I didn't realize they had one down there, sorry. But it specializes in local authors, so I'm thinking they'll be interested
as
well.
That's great.
So, and then there's a book fair in November in Frankfurt that I'm looking into as well.
Mm.
Maybe Paul Keenan, too.
Yeah, there's Paul
Keenan. We're trying for that, especially if they invite Michael over, one of the horses over, have a signing the same day.
Yeah, that would be good. But just forget Michael and bring the horse.
There you go. There you go.
That's what you said before, too.
Well, are you enjoying your stay up there?
Yes. Yes, I miss everybody, miss the horses, but they're everything's going well there in my absence, so I guess they're not missing me that much. But things are working out really, really well. The response to old friends up here has been very, very nice and very cordial and very generous. I ran into Jack Knowlton, of course, who was who ran Saratoga that had Funnyside, and he's coming. He's made a donation to old friends, and he's coming to the party this weekend, and he's a longtime supporter. So you can sense that things are starting to change in terms of a lot of people's reaction to the idea of these horses having a good place to go. So it's been nice.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Fewer people are walking in the opposite direction when they see me, and probably now they're walking in the opposite direction, not because of old friends, but because they have a distaste for me personally.
I can relate to that. No, I'm teasing. All right, Michael, we'll let you go.
First of all, thanks a lot. Thanks, Rick. Thanks for such a good book. I can't wait to see you next week, and we'll have some fun.
Thanks, Michael. Looking forward to it.
Okay.
Right,
take care, Mike.
Buddy. All right, bye.
Bye. All right, well, Silver Bullet Day won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks, the Grade 1 Ashland, the Grade 1 Alabama, the Grade 1 Gazelle, and 8 other graded stakes. She was a champion in 2, she was a champion in 3, she earned more than $3 million. Now, shaking it up is by champion Midnight Loot, whose stud fees climbed to $25,000 this year, out of Silver Bullet Moon, and she's a young daughter of Silver Bullet Day. And he's going to stand his first season at stud at Spendthrift Farm next year. He won Shaking It Up, won the Grade 1 Malibu, he won the Grade 2 Stroob, the Grade 2 San Vicente, and he earned nearly $665,000. He was a superior runner from a family of superior runners. Going to stand his first season at stud for $10,000 to win a full stand in nurses. However, there are a few Share the Upside contracts still available. And as a reminder, the nation's number one freshman sire, Warrior's Reward, was once a participant of the Share the Upside program, among others, incidentally, into mischief. For full details, get in touch with Des Dempsey or Mark Toothacker over at Spendthrift Farm. The number is 859-294-0030, and see the website at spendthriftfarm.com. All right, I'll talk about my good friends at Lubricin and Rebound. Of course, that's Dr. Aldridge, Dr. Steve Alday, who developed both of those fine products, two products that I happen to believe in. As a matter of fact, they make it also for the Lubricin for people, and I use it. Do you use it?
No, not yet.
You don't use it yet?
My knee joints are starting to use it and need it.
A couple more years and you will.
There you go.
Anyway, both those products, incidentally, are all natural. They're test-free. You don't have to worry about it. Lubricin it sustains the integrity of joint fluid, and it reduces the cost of acid injections and things like that.
And some of the top trainers in the country use it, like Todd Pletcher and Tony Dutrow and Jerry Hollendorfer and Mike Maker. Reborn is 100% sterile whole concentrated natural bovine colostrum. It's safe, easy to use as a dietary supplement for horses of all ages, starting with your foals, incidentally. And what it does, it builds up your horse's immune system and keeps them healthy. That's very important, you know, with a lot of, especially for the sales coming up, horses shipping in, and you never know who you're going to be stable next to. But both of those products are used extensively, both on the farms and in training. For instance, recent winners, stakes winners, Majestic River, won the Grade II. Molly Pitcher uses it, and so did Stop Charging Maria, won the Coaching Club American Oaks, Fashion Alert, won the Schuylerville. The list just grows on and on and on. Two wonderful products. Now, you can buy them around here at Old Friends at the KBC in Lexington. That's our horse sense down in Versailles. Go to the website to learn more about them and where you can order these products. It's lubricin.com, lubricyn.com, or reborn.com, reborne.com. That's Dr. Steve Allday, who incidentally is another backer of Old Friends, as is everybody, I guess. Well, Alternation successfully, try that again, Ursula. Alternation successfully completed its first season at stud this year. Thank you, breeders, for your support. There's a lot to like about Alternation. He's a grand individual. His sire is a two-time champion sire, Distorted Humor. His dam was a superb race mare, a stakes win of over $550,000. Five graded stakes listed under her name. She's a daughter of the great Seattle Slough. This is the female family of literally dozens of major stakes winners, including Alternation's stablemate over at Pin Oak Stud, Broken Vow. And, of course, Broken Vow has sired 62 stakes winners now, including the Grade 1 2014 stakes winner, Rosalind. Alternation retired with earnings after winning the Grade 2 Peter Pan, the Grade 2 Oaklawn Handicap, the Grade 3 Pimlico Special, the Grade 3 Razorback, the Governor's Cup, and the Essex Handicap. He retired with earnings of over $1 million. A multiple graded stakes winner millionaire by a champion sire. Out of a stakes winner of over $500,000 by a Seattle Slough from a top class female family. Alternation has everything it takes to be a success at stud. Inquiries to Clifford Berry and Nancy Stevens at Pin Oak Stud, and see the website at pinoakstud.com. Good morning. Good morning, Michael. How are you this morning? Yeah, we're on the air. You know, that's all right. Just bring up your own beer and a folding chair. I've got a guest going to come up here sooner or later. I don't know. Oh, there he is. Ed, we'll catch you in just a minute. You working something now?
No.
No? Okay. I got Ed Rogenkamp going to come on here in just a very few minutes. And what are you doing?
Huh?
Matt Howard just showed up.
I just go on the farm. I run back there.
Oh, two on the farm. Okay. Well, meanwhile, let's see. While I'm doing this, Rick, I guess we're through.
Okay. One last thing I'd like to mention, I forgot, is that 50% of the sales profits from that book will be going to Old Friends. I'm splitting them.
It figures.
Well, I actually wanted to do more, and Michael actually talked me down. So
I don't believe that.
That's one that might never recur again. And but it's my pleasure to be able to do that.
That's Rick Capone, who is the author of the new book, History of the Old Friends, A Home for Retired Thoroughbreds. And as I say, you can buy it out at Old Friends. That's the place to go. Make a donation while you're there.
There you go. Yeah. Thank you very much, Russell. Appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate you stopping by. All righty. Well, let me catch up on my commercials here, and then we're going to get Ed Rogenkamp on. He's outside watching him work right now. Serendip, a colt by Go Zapper, shipped in from Churchill Downs, where he had won an allowance race in his previous start. And he won the Prairie Meadow Stakes on July 26th. Now, Serendip's win came just 5 days after Better Lucky, a mare by Go Zapper, won the Shinigan Stakes at Saratoga. The Prairie Meadows was the first start in stakes for Serendip. Better Lucky's win boosted her earnings to $993,950. She's won two Grade 1 stakes. She ran second in Keenan's Grade 1 Madison Stakes this spring. Got beat by Judy the Beauty. That's another daughter of Go Zapper.
Now, go Zapper, as a side. 9 stakes winners already this year. In other stakes over the weekend, Macho Babe, a 2-year-old filly by Macho Uno, won the Princess Margaret Stakes up in Canada, bred in Kentucky by Whispering Oaks Farm. Macho Babe is undefeated. She won the Princess Margaret by 2 lengths over Quality Lane, a daughter Quality Road. Another runner by Macho Uno, the brilliant Mucho Macho Man, going to join his sire for stud duties at Adena Springs this next year. Nice article about him in the Blood Horse this week. Winner of over $5,625,000, Mucho Macho Man, one of the gamest horses I ever saw, will be the 5th winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic to stand in Adena Springs, Kentucky. For more on the stallions at Adena Springs, call the farm at 859-987-1798 and see the website at adenastallions.com.
When it comes to sports, we've got you covered.
Just want to make sure you've got it.
ESPN, Sports Radio 1500.
All righty. Well, Creative Cause defeated every horse he ever ran against. He was a member of an exceptionally proficient crop. I'll have another. Bodemeister, Union Rags, Paintner, Hanson, Doolahan, Gemologist, Liaison, Take Charge Indy. Creative Cause won grade 1 stakes as a 2-year-old. Won grade 2 stakes as a 3-year-old. Placed in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, the Preakness, the Santa Anita Derby, the Del Mar Futurity, all grade 1. Creative Cause earned over $1 million, and he's by 3 times champion sire Giants Causeway, who sired 2 more graded stakes winners just this last weekend. And he's out of the grade 1 winner in Millionaire Dream Supreme. First foals by Creative Cause arrived this year, and as expected, they're knockouts. Book 4 in 2013 and 2014. Thank you, breeders. Creative Cause at Mr. and Mrs. Bird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie signs are your key to racing profit. All right, starting the second hour of Horse Tales here at the Clocker Stand, and I've been joined by Ed Rogenkamp. Ed owns Reward Farm.
Right.
Has it been rewarding?
Psychologically, yes. Financially, well, it can be a challenge.
Yeah, I understand.
Anyway.
Yeah.
If you're
like me, you've been on a tractor mowing all summer.
I actually have. You're exactly right. I take care of a lot of the farm myself. I love making hay. We make hay on the farm. I've got about a 20-acre hay field. So we'll bale about 3,000 bales a year.
Is that right?
Yeah. And I'm going back to my roots. I grew up as a kid baling hay over in Indiana, and my wife thinks I'm crazy. All my friends think I'm nuts, but I love doing it.
Are they right?
yeah, they're sort of right. You know, we laugh. I spent my first 40 years of my life making money, or the first 40 years of my working career, and the last 10 trying to get rid of it, and I'm better at this than I was at the first part.
Well, I had had a dinner with Ed just the other night at Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club, and he had I asked him where he's farming. He beat around the bush. Now, you were born. I want to find out, because you said you'd been all over the world, but I want
to. I was born in Indiana.
Okay.
But then I went away to college at 18 in Michigan.
Well, you spent 18 years in Indiana. In
18 years in Indiana, then Michigan, New York, California. First 22 years my wife and I were married, we moved 14 times. With the same company, transferred.
Is that right?
Yeah, we lived in.
Well, what'd you do?
I was a marketing guy for General Motors.
Oh, right.
And part of marketing was sales, and so we ran territories. And my territory was started out in upstate New York, but I ended up over time running the West Coast operation. Director of marketing and sales out there. Same thing in New York City, and then. Did a lot of worldwide consulting in GM. Most people don't realize it. We'd sell 4 million units here, and we'd sell 4 or 5 million more around the world. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of a liaison to all those countries and for marketing and sales. And one of the exciting assignments was back in 1990 when we went to the China market. And we went there, and so we knew we were going to build cars in China, but we didn't know how to sell them. And you couldn't just go sign up dealers. There weren't any. There were no entrepreneurs. You know, the people that said, we'll just do it the way we've always done it, not going to work. This is a communist country. But we kind of got a hybrid system put together, and now it's GM's biggest market. We sell millions of cars in China. Now, GM is a different company than I left in 2001, and they went through the bankruptcy in 2008 or 2009 during the economic recession. But anyway, it was a lot of fun. It was great. I've been all over the world. I figured it up one time because I'm trying to figure out my own bucket list. And I've been
China ain't one of them.
Yeah. Well, I've been in every state and in the union, and I've been in 35 countries. So I've traveled a lot over the years.
My goodness, was China? What was the first foreign country they sent you to?
Oh, England.
Oh, okay. Well, you
that
wasn't bad.
I could do that. England and Germany, but then we got into Korea and
North and South.
Well, interestingly, when Daewoo went bankrupt, General Motors bought it from the Korean government, and we were in there. I was in on the team trying to help negotiate the price for buying Daewoo. So we had some interesting assignments, and we bought. We bought a percentage of Subaru. We bought a percentage of Isuzu. Well, we own most of Isuzu.
Still?
No. Okay, during the restructuring, they changed all of that.
Yeah. Well, now, did they change the name of Isuzu? I don't see them anymore.
They don't sell them in America. They build diesel engines that we use in America, but they don't sell Isuzu products in America. But anyway, it was a fun ride. I really had a good time, but it was one part of my life. It'd be nice if it was half my life, but I don't think it'll work that way. And I decided to retire early because I had a lot of hobbies and things that I wanted to do. I wanted to hunt and fish and race horses. And so I retired early and came down here and bought a farm.
Well, I'm fascinated by this. Did you ever get into Russia?
Oh, yeah, sure. It was really something to see. You had to see Russia to understand what it's like. The Kremlin, which you see pictures of on television, is huge. It goes on forever. It's gigantic. And the cathedrals outside of the Kremlin are magnificent. The Hermitage Museum in Leningrad is just something to see. The art treasures and the Fabergé eggs, it's really something. But the living there, now this is 20 years ago, living was still pretty tough. Pretty tough for the people. And you got to eat coleslaw and
20
cabbage.
Years ago was about the end of Reagan and put the end of that there.
Right. You got to eat coleslaw and cabbage dishes for breakfast. It's such a cold climate that they don't grow vegetables like we do. They grow cabbage and lots of it because it'll grow in a cold climate.
Yeah.
And they eat it three meals a day.
Well, that'd tear you up.
It was a great experience. Some of the Africa experiences were pretty wild.
In Africa? Pretty you've pretty been there, too?
Oh, yeah. All over.
Did you get to see racing at any of these places?
I went to the races a lot in Tokyo.
Did you?
Yeah, and Japanese racing is amazing because on a Saturday at the big track out by Narita, the grandstand is six tiers, and it will be full of people. When the horses come around the track, they must see it. It's like it covers the whole horizon, and they don't do things the way we do. They don't pony any of the horses. They walk all the horses to the gate. And I always wonder how they get them loosened up walking a horse to a gate. When they train horses in the morning, they train them with a quarter blanket on them, all of them. Not a few of them, not some of them, all of them. So they do things differently than we do.
Even in the summertime they do that?
Yep.
Because it can get pretty hot there.
It gets very hot.
And they still use quarter blanket.
Yep. So,
I wonder what the reason is for that. Now, you can see it in Europe when, you know, especially in the cold.
Right.
You know,
I don't know. My language skills weren't good enough to ask. The guys that worked for GM that were my translators didn't go to the races with me.
Oh, you can't.
Anyway, I went to their simulcast downtown in Tokyo on a Saturday. You can't get through it. I mean, it is shoulder to shoulder like Derby Day at Churchill Downs.
Now, most of their breeding industries up at the north of
Hokkaido.
I've been there.
It's been fun, you know, traveling around the world. But, you know, now my wife can't get me on a plane. I don't want to go anywhere.
Well,
I've been around.
Did she go with you? Did you live at these places?
No, I didn't live there. Sometimes she went with me.
Yeah.
Not often, though. We had children. She couldn't go.
Yeah.
But But she's been around the world,
too. I'm glad you were home enough to have some children.
Yes, we were.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Moving right along.
It was, I decided I wanted to be in the breeding business. We bought a 100-acre farm. Bought it from Bob Congleton. Remember Bob Congleton?
Absolutely.
What a great man. He was just terrific. He and I had more fun buying that farm. But anyway, bought 100 acres. Didn't have a thing on it. Been a cattle farm. Only thing it had is a lot of crappy old wire fences that I had to take off and kept taking off and kept taking off. They have a life of their own, you know. Yeah. And anyway, we bought 100 acres, built a house and mare barns, and I got in the breeding business. Thought I wanted to be in that, and I was not personality suited to the breeding business. It's too slow. You know, you breed a mare and wait a year. Then you got a foal and you wait a year. And then you prep the foal for 6 months. And then you go in the sale ring and you're there for 5 minutes. Not my style. I don't do that. And after a while, I found it out. Besides, I wasn't financially suited to it. Because I didn't understand. You know, the other night at the farm manager's meeting where the gal, they made a comment about the hot stallions and the not hot stallions.
Yeah.
I never did find the phone number you called to find out who's hot and who's not. I was always just kind of floundering around. So, I bred some really nice horses, but it wasn't financially rewarding, and I didn't enjoy it. And at this point in my life, if it's not fun, I'm not going to do it.
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah. So now you're training.
Well, what I did the last group of two-year-olds I had, I decided I wasn't going to sell them. I wasn't going to take them to the sale. I was going to race them. And I was having dinner with a friend of mine named Ralph Rose. And I told him that, and he said, well, why don't you train them yourself? And I said, well, I don't know how to train horses. And he said, well, I've got stalls at Keeneland. Just bring them on over, and whatever the costs are, feed and everything, I won't charge you anything. You just pay the bills and see if you like it. And I had trained bird dogs for 30 years. I had field trial champion bird dogs, lots of them. I had a dozen champions. So I knew something about animals, and I grew up with horses when I was a kid over in Indiana. So I really enjoyed it. Going to the track every morning, and Ralph was a wonderful guy. We told stories and talked politics and trained horses and just had a great time. And after a year, I got my trainer's license.
Mm-hmm.
And the first year I trained, I ran 7 races and won one. And boy, then once you win one, you're hooked. You're in.
Yeah.
And so we don't race a lot. I race about 40 races. In fact, I looked it up before I came today. Last year, raced 40 times, won 4. The year before, we raced 41 and won 4. And then a lot of seconds and thirds along the way. So, you know, we're about the 10% strike rate.
It's fun, though, isn't it?
Oh, it's great. Anybody that has never stood on the apron and watched your horse come down to the wire winning doesn't understand what it's like.
Oh,
it's
fabulous. I know. There's nothing like it.
There's nothing like it.
That's the only thing I missed, though. I don't miss the everyday thing like when I was younger, you know. I mean, I'd saddled my horse in 2002, the last one.
Well, it's a grind to come every day. On the other hand, I've got a lot of friends that play golf 3 days a week, and the rest of the time they're on the internet talking politics, and I don't want to do that every day either. So I really enjoy it. My wife thinks I'm crazy, and I train. I love the training center. It's a great facility, and I really like it. Unfortunately, it's 25 miles from my house, and Keeneland's 12. So when I can be in Keeneland, I go there only from the commute standpoint.
Uh-huh.
It makes it a lot easier. But the training center has been good to me. I've won races out of here every time.
Yeah, it's a wonderful place to train a horse right here. You know, this is a great track. I mean, this is a safe track.
Yeah, very, very safe.
Yeah.
You know, Ursula, I was going to tell you, when I came down here, I didn't know anybody. And I mentioned Ralph Rose. Ralph was a retired businessman from Chicago who came down here and bought a piece of property on Old Frankfort right next to Three Chimneys. I mean, he bought mm-hmm. good property, built a beautiful house, and trained horses and raised horses. So there was one retiree. You don't think of retirees going to Kentucky. You knew Frank Jedlecki from Minnesota and trained here. You had him on your show a couple times, Frank mm-hmm. and Kim. Unfortunately, died early, but, you know, he retired from his business up in Minnesota, came down here, bought a beautiful farm on Ironworks, built a nice house and barns, and trained horses. George Pruitt came down here from Michigan. He had a beautiful farm, a historic farm out on What's the road that crosses Clintonville down there at the crossroads where the little store is? It's a German name. Anyway, he had a gorgeous farm there, and George has raised some great horses. He had a horse he bred named Ansel. Mm. who went over to Royal Ascot on an invitation. And, you know, I his horses go to Royal Ascot. Mine go to Royal Volterra. But anyway. But there were a bunch of us. Another one is Jim Miller, who came in here from California when he retired. And he's got a nice little farm over on Pinkard. And Ray Horn's got a farm down in Keene. And Russ Davis had a farm in on Yeah, he was from Chicago. He retired Sears exec. He had a farm on Keene Road, and he sold mainly commercial. I mean, there were a bunch of us. We could have had a retiree club here. And I don't know if people are still retiring to Kentucky, but we did.
Yeah.
And it was all because of the horses.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to live in a country. After living in New York and L.A., I wanted to live in a country.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to live in a country where the best restaurant in town was in a bowling alley and closed at 4 o'clock. I wanted to live in a country like this, where I'm 10 minutes from the restaurants in Midway, and you know, I like the good life. I like the symphony and the theater, and we've got all of that in this here. And
you ought to go to work for the Chamber of Commerce, you know.
Well, I'm not. Don't get me started on Kentucky politics, because I'm not that positive on that part. Anyway,
but let me interrupt you a minute. Pay a bill, and we'll get right. I'm talking to Ed Rogenkamp, and we're going to get right back with him. Well, first, Sammy Rye is the sire of 8 stakes winners already this year. Among the 8, Lee, winner of the Grade 1 Don, Grade 3 Hal's Hope, and over 709,000. Carve, winner of the Grade 3 Cornhusker. Size, winner of the Grade 3 Iowa Oaks. Last Gunfighter, multiple graded stakes winner, whose latest stakes win boosted his earnings to over $1,142,000. He goes into stakes today. Northern Passion, winner of over $633,000. Apropos, winner of the American Beauty Stakes at Oak Lawn and placed in Grade 1 Madison at Keeneland. The side of 9 stakes winners in 2013, 10 the year before. First Samuel Rye is well on his way to another top year at stud. Winner of the Grade 1 Champagne and the Grade 1 Hopeful at 2, the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth at 3. First Samuel Rye is by 3 times champion sire Giants Causeway. And Giants Causeway sired 2 more graded stakes winners just over the last weekend. First Samuel Rye stands at Claiborne Farm. Look for his yearlings at the major sales. And for more information, contact Bernie Sams over at Claiborne, 859-233-4252. See the website at claibornefarm.com. I want to talk about my friend Hill Parker. Hill and Reagan Parker have been in the real estate business now for about a dozen years. They don't look like they're old enough to have been in it that long, but they have. But, you know, anybody under 60 anymore looks young to me. But they've got a wonderful real estate agency. They're a team. You hire one, you get them both. They both go to work for you. And, of course, Hill's a hands-on horseman, and they understand the horse business. And that's very important if you're looking for a horse farm, because they can find just the perfect farm for you. And they've got a great website, LexHorseFarms.com. I went on it the other day. I browsed it and kind of drool over the things they've got. And I wrote down one here. Where did I do with that thing? Oh, yeah. Out on the Russell Cave Pike, 571 Russell Cave Road. It's a restored federal house out there, Jackie. Built in 1803, and it's been beautifully restored.
Wow.
And it's in the Bourbon County, which is a plus in my book, anyway. Taxes a little bit lower down there. It's got, you know, it's a 4-bedroom, 3 baths, 4,793 square feet, 5 paddocks, open fields, 2 barns with 14 stalls. Got a swimming pool. For people, not horses, but I guess you could jump a horse in there if you wanted to. But anyway, it's you ought to see that place. You really need to go to the website and look it over, because they've got outstanding variety of locations, sizes, and prices all over Central Kentucky. And go to the website. It's LexHorseFarms.com, LexHorseFarms.com. Hill and Reagan Parker, and here's a phone number. It's 859, of course. They live in Lexington, 608-8039. With July 30, Delaware Comforter, a two-year-old filly by No Biz Like Showbiz, won a maiden special by widening nine lengths, going 5 furlongs and 58-1. So keep an eye on Comforter. She's a runner. No Biz Like Showbiz is siren runners, hard-hitting winners to compete wherever they're asked to run. He's a sire in his first crop now of Let Me Entertain You. He won the Baru Stakes in New York and placed in the Busher Stakes. Both of them in open stakes, both of them at Aqueduct. Thank You Kiss is a stakes winner, so is a Shift and Roll all from that first crop, as is Stakes Place Gallant Performer. So No Biz Like Showbiz himself was a grade one winner, earned over $1,544,000, stands over at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Ask about breeding incentives, and he's the ideal horse if you're breeding to race. Crestwood Farm is a full-service establishment with a great reputation for customer service. The regulars can sign us to the major sales. As a reminder, the entries for the fall sales at Fasig Tipton are right around the corner, so give them a call at 859-252-3770. See the website at crestwoodfarm.com. I'm talking to Ed Rovenkamp, who owns Rewards Farm over in Versailles, Kentucky. Now, you told me about everything about what you're doing now, except one key question. How in the world did you get interested in horses? You look like you didn't settle in one place long enough to see a horse race, hardly.
Well, I really enjoyed going to races, and I went to the races all over the country, every place. And at some point, you say, well, I ought to own one of these critters, instead of just going to the window and buying tickets. And had horses when I was a kid. My family had trotting horses, race horses.
Well,
so I had an affinity for it. And,
you still like a trotters any? Yeah.
No, I don't pay any attention at all. It's a different game, and that's too bad, but I don't. I got an interesting story. I used to fly out to San Francisco every month for some meetings, and I'd stay at the Hyatt at the airport, mm-hmm. and it was just up the road from Bay Meadows, and I'm on East Coast time, so I would wake up at 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I had nothing to do, so I would go down to Bay Meadows and sit in the stands. And this little trainer would come up and sit in the stands in the box next to me, and we'd talk, and he was a great guy, and I was I was out there every month. And his name was Art Sherman, a little guy nobody'd ever heard of.
Right.
And we struck up a nice friendship, but I did not continue when I came here. I'd see him once in a while at the sales, but I thought he was just such a really classy guy. You know, people didn't realize Bay Meadows, they moved the stables. The land was so valuable, they moved the stables in the infield. And you could sit in the stands and watch him gallop horses, and he could sit there and watch his barn and make sure they were walking his horses right.
Is that right?
It was really interesting. Yeah.
San Mateo.
Yeah.
Where he is now,
but he was at Bay Meadows then. He was in
that's
the San Mateo is the town, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Bay Meadows. Yeah. I've been there.
Yeah. But the land was just so valuable.
You can't
have 400 acres for a racetrack.
I had a good friend lived two blocks from there.
Okay. Yeah. Great country, but it's
you spend the night with him a lot.
a lot of traffic. But man, we lived, one of our assignments, we lived in Glens Falls, which is just up the road from Saratoga. So I figured out I'd go to Saratoga a lot.
Yeah, that'll get you
home. I went to racing in Saratoga 25 summers in a row. So, that's what got me.
Well, I get you. You saw a lot of great racing up there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Too bad I don't have some of my own stable. But
maybe one of these days, that's what you're doing it for.
First Samurai. They raced First Samurai. I sit on my porch every night and watch First Samurai gallop around the paddocks over at Glenwood Farm right across the road from us.
Is that
he
right?
And Stevie Wonderboy were raised by John Gunther over at Glenwood Farm.
Man raises a lot of runners.
Remember Barry Robinette? Barry was really, really kind to me when I came down here and didn't know much about broodmares. And I had broodmares, but I had them boarded out. So a lot of the little things that you need to know about broodmares, you don't learn when they're boarded out. You learn when they're in the barn up the road a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, I had a great time.
Who'd you board with?
I boarded with Bain and Libby Welp.
There you go.
Yeah,
nice
down
people,
in Clinton.
Yeah.
Oh, fine people. I was very lucky. I found very good, very competent, very honest people. And
that's the majority.
I've got a pretty good, from being in the car business, I got a pretty good flake detector. I can talk to somebody for about 10 minutes and figure out which way they're going. And I like just straight up people. Just tell me the facts.
Don't
sugarcoat it. Just tell me what's going on. That's one of the reasons I like Bob Congleton. For example, when I bought the farm from him, we agreed on the price and the farm, and there was a double-wide mobile home on it. And it turned out when they did the survey, the double-wide mobile home was on the part of the farm that I bought. So that wasn't part of the deal. And I told the real estate agent, said, oh, we got to go through these big complex negotiations and redo the contract and on and on and on and on. And I finally, I picked up the phone, called Bob Congleton. We resolved it in about 2 minutes. He said, what do you want to do? I said, I'll give you so much for it. He said, sounds like a deal to me. I didn't want to move it. And it was done.
Yeah.
He was just a straight up business guy. That
yeah.
was my kind of guy.
Yeah.
But
he was a partnership with Bob Courtney for years.
Yeah.
Another
yeah.
fine gentleman.
Great horses too.
Yeah.
And, But one of the things I love, now that I breed to race, by the way, that was kind of interesting. The first time you start talking about buying stallion seasons, and they say, are you going to breed for the commercial market or are you going to race?
There's a difference.
Well, there's certainly a difference in who you breed to, but there's no difference in the end point that they're going. They're both going to get on the track somewhere or to be of any value.
Yeah.
And one of the great things about Kentucky is that we have a lot of really, really high-quality, reasonably priced stallions.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, you advertise a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Dahar out at Shadwell is great. Kent Barnes is a great guy to work with.
Dahar?
Dahar.
One of my favorite.
However you say that, D-A-A.
Well, I don't know. It's one of those Arab names. But
yeah.
I know one thing, that horse gets runners.
That is a really great horse for the
grand looking horse, too.
Yeah, yeah, really great.
He's about awesome again. Grade one stakes win. I really like the horse.
Oh, I think he's going to be a great horse. And there's a case of a bargain price stallion
yeah.
for a guy that wants to breed a race.
Yeah. Gets a high percentage of runners now. Yeah.
Yeah, he does. And there's some old stallions around that are, I bred two mares to Langford this year, and he's still at a reasonable price. And
if you're breeding to race now, you still got mares?
Yeah, just two. I only have two mares.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
Yeah. His stand is over at Burry Jones's now. Is
yes,
it, another
very,
good,
very good bargain for the money. I think he's at $5,000. It was. I don't know.
Yeah, he's five. Yeah.
But he produced a couple stakes winners last
year. He's doing very well. And if, for some reason, people didn't take to him. But, you know, he's got great pedigree. Now they're running.
Yeah.
And Burry's backing him. Burry breeding his own mares to him.
Right. So. And I bred to Slough City Slough years ago. That was a good example.
Oh, yeah.
Great bargain stallion
yeah.
and for a breed to race guy.
Now, when Jack and I were breeding to race, we were back in those days, these horses would precede you. We used to go to Claven Farm, breed to Pago Pago, and to Dixie Annan, breed to Hard Work.
Okay.
And
yeah, I know the names, but not.
Plum Lane Farm, breed to R. Michael, and, you know, those kind of horses. But, you know, you couldn't sell them.
No.
Until is when you could sell them. You get them ready to run, and they were good.
They'd sell them off the track.
You could sell them right out of here.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Unfortunately, we always had to sell the ones that would run, the ones that vet out and wouldn't vet out. And
well, I found my cost.
We had to train.
I do pretty careful cost analysis, and I found that my cost to get a yearling ready to sell is almost exactly the cost that it takes me to get a horse ready to race.
Uh-huh.
And you're right about selling them. You can sell a yearling in a sale, and you can sell a horse off the track if it's got any talent. And I enjoy the racing side of it, and that's why I do it. I think anybody in the horse business has to sit down and think about their temperament and what they want to do, and then come up with a business plan for themselves,
yeah.
what they want to do. Because there's many – that's a great thing about the horse business is there's so many ways to play it. You can play it at a very high, expensive level. You can play it at the level I play it and still have a lot of fun and still have a lot of thrills.
They play it like a level that Jackie and I had. It was just scraping by a level.
Well, that's okay, and you
my
know,
business plan was broke.
We gotta have one. You know, I still get on a soapbox once in a while, and before I get off the show, I will get on my soapbox.
Well, go ahead.
As an industry, we need to attract people, owners.
That's obvious.
I was surprised that one of our major organizations made an announcement about a month ago that we need to attract owners. I'm wondering, where have you been, guys? It's been this way for a while. Mm-hmm. And I really think having gone through this and gone through the school in Saratoga and that we are a bit of a closed society. We need to figure out a way to be on a very friendly basis to talk to people about the horse business and the ups and downs and the realities of it. And I think there's a, you know, do you know there are 10 million millionaires in America? That's a fact.
I never bothered to count them, but
million millionaires. And if you ask most of them and say, can you spend $500,000 on a horse? It's not no, it's no.
Yeah.
But if you said, would you like to spend $20,000 and just have a ball with a claiming horse? They would jump on.
Yeah.
And some of them, once they got to know the business, I think would grow into bigger and better things.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's my soapbox, is that we as an industry need to figure out how people who have not, you know, they buy boats and ski lodges and all kinds of stuff. Why aren't they buying racehorses? They'll have just as much fun.
Yeah.
And you can do it at any age. You know, the good thing is you can race horses when you're 80. You can't play golf very well when you're 80.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay. And you can play in New York. You can play in Florida. You can play in California. It's all across the country. So, you know, it's got a lot of advantages to people that are looking to put some excitement in their life.
Yeah, and fun.
Fun. It's great fun. And,
yeah.
And we shouldn't forget that when we talk to people that, man, this is fun. In fact, when I take friends to the races, the difference between going to the races without a horse and going to the races with me, where I've taken them back on the backside and they've petted the horse and they've come watched me saddle the horse and then they're cheering and yelling for the horse, it's totally different experience.
Yeah.
It really, and then they get, especially if they get their picture taken, they get real excited.
Yeah. Absolutely. I got to interrupt you again. Well, here are two more promising runners by First Defense and Ms. Mass to keep your eye on July 24th. Leopardstown, Tomberlane, a two-year-old colt by First Defense that broke his maiden in his career debut, beating colts by Galileo and Warfront, finished a close second to Glenn Eagles, a highly regarded son of Galileo, in the Group 3 Tyro Stakes, also at Leopardstown. 3 days later at Monmouth Park, Stonetastic, a three-year-old filly by Ms. Mass, won in impressive fashion, going 6 furlongs and 9 and change. Now, Stonetastic, never off the board in 6 starts. Won first time out of 2, then ran 2nd in the Grade 2 Pocahontas and 3rd in the Grade 2 Golden Gavrod, both at Churchill. And 2 starts this year, she placed in the $100,000 Ginger Brew Stakes at Gulfstream, and then she won last Saturday at Monmouth Park. So First Defense and Ms. Mass are, of course, they're both proven Grade 1 winners. They've got both represented by Grade 1 winners this year, and both stand at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com.
I'm a distance man. I like my work.
All right. Well, horses raised on products from McCauley Brothers won 5 more stakes over the past weekend, bringing the total for the year to 112. The Grade 2 Amsterdam. Let's see. Well, let me get back. The Grade 2 Amsterdam Stakes was at Saratoga was won by Coup de Grace, bred by Ag's Thoroughbreds and raised over Gainesway Farm. Majestic River, winner of the Grade 2 Molly Pitcher at Monmouth, was bred by Brylin Farm in partnership with Robert and Stacy Mitchell and raised at Brylin. The Grade 3 Ocean Port Stakes, also at Monmouth Park, went to Guy's Reward, bred by Haymarket Farm. Del Mar's Grade 3 Cougar Stakes went to Irish Surf, bred by Gainesway Farm, and the Edmonton Juvenile Stakes in Canada for two-year-olds was won by Blue Heaven, bred by Keene Ridge Farm. Now listen to this. 112 stakes wins, 64 of them graded stakes wins, including 13 grade 1 stakes raised on products from McCauley Brothers. And they're proud to count many of the world's most accomplished horsemen among their customers. To add your name to the list, give Mike Warren or David Longmire a call at 859-873-3333 and see the website at McCauleyBros.com. You're always welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, that's where it's all about the horse. Daily Racing Form Sunday edition, and I've got that thing right in front of me. And Michael blowing in here, and he didn't steal it this week.
You get to keep it, you get to keep it.
I get to keep it. And John Sparkman's got an article in there, and he is writing about a Courtly D. Who is the third dam of Bayern, or Bayern, however you pronounce it. I know how to pronounce Courtly D. I remember when Lee Eaton bought Courtly D back in the early 70s. I got her off the racetrack. And, boy, she's turned into she was a great producer for Lee. And so I've got to go home and read this. So I would suggest that you read it, too. It's written by John Sparkman. Of course, John is a top flight writer as far as she goes. There's also an article in there about She's a Tiger being retired. And of course, she was the champion 2-year-old filly last year. She was by Taylor the Cat. And she's being retired, so they're writing about that. We're writing about Hard Spun. We're coming back to this country and writing about the Keeneland sales catalogs, which are, I think you can get them starting the 5th. Off the internet for the season, but that's a daily racing form. And you know, the Sunday edition carries past performances from Arlington, Saratoga, Thistledowns, Monmouth, Gulfstream, great old Ellis Park. That's not my family. This family had money. Woodbine, Belterra, and Canterbury. So they're no relation to me at Ellis Park. I'm the Poe Ellis. It's the other side of the track. Anyway, that's a Daily Racing Form breeding edition, and you can go to drf.com/breeding today. You can pick up stuff all through the week from the Daily Racing Form. Okay. Still talking to Ed Rogan Camp off there, and we kind of stretched this out. Eh?
You tell me when you want me to leave.
Well, it's going to be any second now. The clock moving.
Yeah, it was interesting. I heard you talk about Guy's Reward. Guy's Reward was bred by Haymarket Farm, but Haymarket Farm was owned by Chip Montgomery, who's a Chevrolet dealer in Louisville.
Is that right?
And I used to walk into sales, and I'd see these guys, and neither one of us knew each other was in the horse business. Jerry Stoutberg bred horses and sold them at the Keeneland sale. He was from Maryland, and Bill Hurwitz did the same thing, and I walked into the Timonium sale one day, and there sat Bill Hurwitz, a Chevy dealer in Baltimore, buying horses. And John Smiklis from Oklahoma, he told me one time when I first got in the horse business, he said, don't buy any cheap horses. So he sold a mare for $2,000 that produced a Kentucky Derby winner.
Well, she was cheap at the time.
She was cheap at the time.
Yeah, right.
And Tom Durant was he was on the national scene for a while, but I noticed the other day he's the leading owner in Texas. He's a Chevy dealer. Tony DeFalo up in
a lot of Chevy dealers.
Oh yeah, a lot of car dealers in the horse business, and that's great. I mean, that's what we need is entrepreneur type people.
Well, you're talking about Haymarket Farm. That's they use the Macaulay products from down in Brazil.
They use Macaulay products, and I think they use Kerry Brogdon as their sales agent.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's. I think.
Well, they're from over in. That's McMahon, isn't it?
Yeah, McMahon.
Yeah, that's Bourbon County there.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Nice.
Carrie's
people.
Done very well in the business. She really is. I remember when she bred a graded stakes winner on a foal share because they were just getting started and struggling and needed a foal share and brought the horse back. What was his name? He was over at Lane's Inn.
Who was the horse?
Pleasant
Colony.
Pleasant Tap.
Pleasant Tap.
Pleasant Tap was over there. Pleasant Tap was over there, and he was one of those bargain horses.
Mm-hmm.
And I bred a mare to him, and that year he got a grade one winner, and his stud fee tripled. Boom! Yeah, I couldn't afford him the next year. Anyway, so thank you for
thank you. I appreciate you coming by. I hate to tear you away from your horses, but...
One just went by.
Oh, okay. I wonder why you were looking. We've got better go...
The real question will be, did he do what I told him to do with the horse?
You should have quit. You should have bailed out 5 minutes ago. Okay. Ed, thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Razzle Jazzle, the son of Jazzle, posted his 4th consecutive win on July 26th at Saratoga. And the next day at Arlington, Fleet Encounter, a daughter of Inadab, captured her 10th career win. Two hard-hitting runners by Shadwell Stans. Razzle Jazzle was a $100,000 graduate of the Facey Tipton July sale. Began his winning streak in December at Delaware, and then he won two more at Delaware, and then he won his 4th straight, and that was at Saratoga. Fleet Encounter, in addition to having won 10 times now, has been on the board in 20 of her 25 career starts. Wouldn't you like to have that one? Of course, both Jazzle and Inadab have sired graded stakes winners, as has every stallion with foals of racing age that stands at Shadwell Farm. The first foals by Albertus Maximus, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile and the Grade 1 Don Handicap, and of over $1,328,000 are yearlings this year. Look for them in September. For more of the stallions on the stallions at Shadwell Farm, get in touch with stallion manager Kent Barnes and see the website at Shadwell Farm. Dot com.
When unlimited at bloodstock and racing professionals for generations, and why a new generation is using APR online.
All righty. Well, I've got Steve Moody. Steve, let me do this commercial. I'll be right with you. The first foals by Drosselmeyer and Sidney's Candy are yearlings. Drosselmeyer won two of the world's most coveted stakes, the Breeders' Cup Classic and the Belmont, a feat that was also accomplished, incidentally, by the likes of AP Indy, Unbridled, and Sunday Silence. Drosselmeyer retired with earnings in excess of $3,728,000. He is by champion sire Distorted Humor, his stable mate at Windstar Farm, and he's out of the multiple grade one winner Golden Ballet, and she won, earned more than $732,000. Sidney's Candy is a grade one winner and millionaire by Candy Ride, who has climbed to number five on the North American sire list. Sidney's Candy won grade one stakes, among them the grade one Santa Anita Derby, set two new time records, and won graded stakes on dirt, grass, and artificial. He could run on anything. His dam is Fair Exchange, a daughter Stormcap, and the multiple grade one winner Exchange, winner of over $1,287,000. So take a good look at the first crop yearlings by Drosselmeyer and Sidney's Candy. And for more information on the stallions over at Windstar Farm, get in touch with my friends over there, Darren Fox or Sean Tugel or Kyle Wilson. Numbers 859-873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com. All right, I've got Steve Moody with me now. He's the author of the Saratoga sheet. And Steve, how are you this morning?
Doing well, Arsene.
Well, I'm glad. Who's going to win the big one today, the Whitney?
Well, of course, I got a huge card today with three grade ones, the Whitney. The last of those three, that's the 10th race. A field of nine entered there. Fast and Firm is what the track is. I've looked. And hopefully, only about a 20% chance of rain. Hopefully, it'll stay away. Real tough race, Ursel. Obviously, the Whitney is one of the great races on the calendar every year. Run for the 87th time today. And Palace Malice is clearly the horse to beat. I mean, he's a perfect 4-for-4 this year. He's won two out of three races at Saratoga, and coming off a win in the Metropolitan Mile, he's going to be very tough. He'll be running from off the pace. The race looks like it's going to set up pretty well for him with some. You got speed in there with Marino and Prayer for Relief, and you know, he looks like he ought to get a perfect trip in here. He's going to be very tough, but even, you know, at even money, you know, it's kind of one of those things. Do you want to bite on a horse going to probably pay 360? But no question, he's a horse to beat. I thought a horse that had a chance at a price was a four horse, It's My Lucky Day, shipper from Florida for Eddie Plessa. He's won three in a row. Definitely this is, you know, this is the toughest, group that he has faced, but he has the right running style for this race as well. Got the tactical speed and, 12-1 on the morning line. I definitely think he's got a big chance at a price, and probably the best of the speed in here is, Marino. Of course, you remember him from last year. Just did get nosed out in the Travers by Will Take Charge, yelling by Ghost Zapper. He's gonna go to the front under Junior Alvarado and try to take him every step of the way. And you know, if he should shake loose in here at this 9-furlong distance, he could be tough. I do think he could hang on for part of it here. And, you know, maybe get a couple of prices in behind Palace Malice for your exacta or trifecta. So we're going to reluctantly go with the favorite, even though it is the graveyard champion. And we'll go 5-4-3 in the Whitney.
All right. Who do you like in the test?
The test, boy, it's a tough, tough, tough race. Full field, field of 12. Of course, three-year-old fillies going 7 furlongs for $500,000. And you could make a case for probably 8 out of the 12 in here. I mean, it is really, really tough. The favorite in here is Sweet Reason, a horse that likes a 7 furlong distance, has won at Saratoga. She won the Spinaway last year on closing weekend, and she's one that though it's that likes to come from well out of it, and kind of when you're in a bulky field like this is going to be the 12, that can be difficult sometimes to try to weave your way past all those runners. I'm going to pull an upset here, Ursel, with the 2-horse, 50 Shades of Gold. This is a filly that's trained by Brett Calhoun. She's 2 for 2 at 7 furlongs. She wasn't able to, she made the lead in the Acorn, but she wasn't able to last. Of course, that race is a mile at Belmont. But she's cutting back to 7 furlongs today where she's unbeaten. And she's just been working nothing but bullet for this race. She's going to be either on the lead or she can sit just off of it. She doesn't have to lead every step in order to win. So I like that versatility about her. I think she's got a good chance to maybe upset this bunch. Another one, Rusty Arnold's filly, Southern Honey. This is a filly by Colonel John, who's won 3 in a row, won the winning colors at Churchill Downs, won that pretty impressively. She's one that also will be running from just off the pace. So I'm going to, like I said, going to try to beat Sweet Reason in here, who's kind of the lukewarm 3-to-1 favorite. And we're going to go 2-5-7 in the test.
That leaves the Vanderbilt, 6 furlongs.
The Vanderbilt, that's the 8th race. Test is the 9th, and the Whitney's the 10th. Vanderbilt, field of 8. Going here, 350,000, 6 furlongs, 3-year-olds and up. Top three are hard to, very, very close, sir. So I thought it basically comes down to the 1-horse Palace, the 5, Happy My Way, and the 8, Bakken. Happy My Way is probably the horse that gets to the front in here, although you do have other speed in the race with Bakken on the outside, and you've got Lemon Drop Dream. So I'm not wild about Palace being down on the rail, but I do think that she can he can outbreak Falling Sky, and then I think when he does that, that he can sit kind of in right in behind the speed. And hopefully won't get bottled up down there on the rail, can get off just a little bit and into the clear and sort of stalk, and then, come and try to pounce on them when they turn into the stretch. I'm going to give him a very slight edge over Bakken. This is a lightly raced colt that really does his best running at 6 furlongs, so this race ought to be right up his alley. He's going to be very tough here. Happy My Way, I think, is the best of the speed. He's going right to the front and try to take him all the way. So, tough to separate him. We're going to go 1-8-5, going with Palace in the Vanderbilt.
Very good, Steve. This is Steve Moody with the Saratoga Handicap of Sheep. Hey, I've got some good news for you, Steve. On the 16th, the show starts, go back to the old time from 10 till noon.
Oh, all right.
So you get to sleep in a little bit more.
On the 16th, so that's what, 2 weeks from today?
2 weeks from today, back to the old time.
All right, well, Of course, with Saratoga, I'm up. Doesn't matter whether early or late, it won't matter. But once we get into other meets, I get a little chance to sleep in a little.
Well, we were going to wake you up anyways. All right, Steve. It's Steve with the Saratoga Handicapper Sheet. And when they get back to Keeneland, I'm sure it's going to be the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet again. And you can go online to get that at brisnet.com, BRISNET.com, or they sell it where they sell daily racing forms. And, of course, you can pick them out at Keeneland and have some fun with it. Steve, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right,
Ursula. All righty. Let's see. Where am I? Right here. Silver Bullet Day. I remember well. Won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks, the Grade 1 Ashland, the Grade 1 Alabama, the Grade 1 Gazelle, and 8 other graded stakes. How would you like to have owned her? She was a champion of 2, a champion of 3, and she earned more than $3 million. Shaking It Up is by champion sire, Midnight Lou, whose stud fees climbed to $25,000 this year. And Shaking It Up is out of Silver Bullet Moon, young daughter of Silver Bullet Day. And Silver Bullet Moon is going to stand his first season stud next year at Spendthrift Farm. He won the Grade 1 Malibu. He won the Grade 2 Stroop. He won the Grade 2 San Vicente. And he earned nearly $665,000. He was a superior runner from a family of superior runners. And he's going to stand his first season at stud for $10,000, and you don't have to pay it until the foal stands and nurses. There also, incidentally, a few share the upside contracts still available. And as a reminder, the nation's number one freshman sire, Warriors Reward, was once a participant of the Share the Upside program at Spendthrift Farm. So was Into Mischief, for that matter. So for more details, get in touch with Des Dempsey. He speaks fluent Irish over there, or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030, and visit the website at spendthriftfarm.com. Oh, golly, Jackie. All righty, I've got to take care of my good friends over at the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, KTA and KTOBA, and... I guess Chauncey Morris is over in charge now that David Schweitzer is retiring. Good luck to you, Chauncey. Kentucky bred Space Stakes winners over the last weekend. The Haskell Invitational by Yearn, we were just talking about him, was bred by Helen Alexander. The Amsterdam Stakes, Grade 2 at Saratoga, went to Coup de Grace. Bred by Ags Thoroughbred, raised over at Gainesway. Wicked Strong won the Grade 2 Jim Dandy, was bred by William F. Lynn. San Diego Handicap, Grade 2. Fed Biz, he is by Giants Causeway, bred by Colts Neck Stable. Set new track record over there at going a mile and 16th, 141 flat. The Molly Pitcher, Grade 2 at Monmouth Park, was won by Majestic River. Bred by Brylan Farmer, Robert Mitchell, and Stacy Mitchell. The Grade 3 Cougar the Second Handicap. I don't know if you remember Cougar or not, but he was from South America. Went stud over at Arthur Hancock Stone Farm. Irish Surf won that, another Giants Causeway. This one bred by Gainesway Thoroughbreds. The Metropolitan Jets Oceanport Stakes, Grade 3 at Monmouth Park. Guy's Reward, the winner there, bred by Haymarket Farm. The Shuvie Handicap, Grade 3 at Saratoga. Antipathy. Antipathy, one of the last AP Indies, I assume. Well, it's a four-year-old. Might be a couple more. This one bred by Darley. The Royal North Stakes, Grade 3 at Woodbine, went to Ageless, bred by Hinkle Farms down in Bourbon County. The Prairie Meadows Handicap at Prairie Meadows went to Serendip. Serendip as a Go Sapper Colt, bred by Takashir Wada. His coat shipped in from Churchill Downs. He'd won at Churchill Downs and went over to Prairie Meadows and picked up the money. The Princess Margaret Stakes in Canada went to Macho Babe. That's an undefeated two-year-old filly by Macho Uno, bred by Whispering Oaks Farm. She's a Kentucky bred. The 8 Miles East Stakes at Gulfstream Park winner was Burn the Mortgage, bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. You know that was by usually Kitten's Joy. The Edmonton Juvenile Stakes in Canada went to Blue Dancer, bred by the Keen Ridge Stables. And yesterday at Saratoga, the Smirnoff Sorbet Caress Stakes. What is Smirnoff? Isn't that a...
It's a vodka.
That's a vodka? Well, I don't drink vodka. Boy, listen, this chorus answer me here. Bunch of potheads or something here.
You're talking about Russia earlier. You got a vodka.
Matt Howard and Reggie Dukes and Jackie all piped up the same time. I said, Jeff vodka? I know Jackie doesn't drink it. She can't handle a beer.
I know. Isn't that a shame?
Yeah. Anyway, that was yesterday. And the winner was Free as a Bird, bred by Elizabeth Jones Volando. And bred in Kentucky, of course, by Hard Spun. Hard Spun, incidentally, is returning to Kentucky. How about that? All right, let's see. Winners from the Thoroughbred Center since last week's shoe. And, oh, Jackie, yeah, you got some announcements, okay. Oh, let me read these real quick. Eduardo Caramaro, Matt Frazier, Tiny Love Singer, Paul Garcia, Luis Jurado, Tim Shue, Tommy Short, and Jim Rankin, all saddle winners from the Thoroughbred Center since last week's show. Okay, Jackie.
Okay, Kentucky Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club Sporting Clay Classic, August 20th. You can be a gold sponsor for $12.50. You can be a stand sponsor for $2.50. Yeah, it's how much is it for to shoot and stuff?
$500
is the cheapest team.
Well,
that's okay for three people. Go to ktfmc.org. VS Salon and Spa in Winter Street, Midway, Kentucky. That's Tammy and Brian Van Steenberg. He does the best massage therapy. It's wonderful. I don't know if he does hand waxing, but I think
he worked on me yesterday. I feel great.
I know you're walking much better. Right now at the Horse Park at the Cover Arena, Kentucky Summer Classic 2, Hunter Jumper Show. Also, the USEF Pony Finals is going on, and they're going to have a bridal show. I don't care about that. Wednesday, August 20th, the Kentucky Hunter Jumper Association show and another
She didn't care when we got married.
I did. Longmont Town Hunter Pace Barbecue Saturday, August 16th at Brownsboro Farm. That's near Louisville. Horses and Hope Trail Ride is coming up in September. That's Jane Brashear's thing for cancer. And Lakeside Arena is open. Saturday, August 2nd, Horse Aid Live at Masterson Station Park. Fun schooling show. It's good. Summer Bird Dressage every Wednesday at 4:30 and later. Bring your own test, and they'll test you for $10. And it's a great way to get some dressage in. I'm done.
Oh, we got a minute left. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Well, first of all, let me remind everybody, now I've announced it twice, probably should have announced it more, that as of the 16th of the month, the show goes back to its old time. We'll be back on the 10 to 12. And that way you can listen to Mike Penna from 8 to 10. And that was the main reason.
And that's on 96.1.
Yes, on 96.1 and switch over here. And you get to get both shows. There were a lot of complaints.
4 hours of BS.
Horse racing, yeah. Yeah. There were many, many complaints at the radio station about us going head and head against each other because we're both involved in people like to listen to both shows. And we appreciate, both Mike and I appreciate you all doing that, complaining like that. So the switch is back. And that starts the 16th week after next. Thanks for listening this time. Thanks, Ed Rogan Camp, for coming on the show. It was fun to talk to, and we'll talk to you next week.